This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now to talk about the 14-6 Baltimore Orioles from OriolesHangout.com. He's on the Ackerman Security Hotline. He is Tony Pentee. Tony, what's happening?
Hey, guys. I'm just glad you guys are finally listening to some good music when I come on.
Well, thank you for that.
Happy about that.
That's Tim Barbalese with his brand new medium hammerjack shirt, just feeling the vibe, giving us some Guns N' Roses. Now, the Orioles are 14-6. Before we get into the particulars of the team, what's the one thing, the one key for them being where they are right now?
You know, it truly is amazing when you look down at where they are right now compared to what's happened. I mean, if somebody would sit here and tell you that, you know, 3 weeks into the season, Machado would be hitting 205, Trumbo would have a 495 on OPS, Hardy would be hitting 200 with a 504 OPS, there'd be no Tillman, Gausman would have a 750 ERA, and Jimenez would have a 5.95 ERA, and we'd lose our closer for close to 2 weeks. You know, where would you think the Orioles would be? 14-6.
They'd be the Blue Jays, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, and you know, obviously the guys have come up huge. It's been, you know, Bundy and Wiley out of that rotation. They've been great, and offensively, Scope and Jones have really led the way. I mean, Scope obviously is off to a great start after really kind of a slow start the first couple of games out of the gate there, but he's really turned it on, and those two guys have been very consistent, you know, and you add in guys like Mancini and Seth Smith and Castilla, they really have helped that offense come around, and that bullpen's just been rock solid. I mean, even without Britton, they haven't missed a beat. Brock has been amazing. I mean, he's given up 3 hits all season and 12 innings pitched. He's been as good as Britton was last season. So, I mean, the only thing that really hurts losing Britton is now we you know, it's that cascading effect. You don't have those guys earlier in the game, so you're seeing Buck have to handle those and keep those starters out there a little longer like he did with Bundy last night.
Now, speaking of Bundy, any concern with you about the velocity on the fastball early on?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it concern. I think what you're seeing, some of it is the fact that, you know, he's throwing that slider cutter thing a lot more. They've always said that they think that saps a little bit of velocity when you use that pitch. So you could be seeing a little bit of that. You know, I don't like seeing him sit at 89-90 range. You know, when he's 91, 92, 93, that's fine. You know, I think he's a better pitcher at 92, 93 than I saw when he was 95, 96. He just has more command of the pitch. There seems to be more movement on the pitch. Again, look at the results. It's not always about that radar gun. And obviously this season he's showing it's not all about the radar gun, you know. But I do have some concerns with the fact that this is the guy that you know, is, I think, you know, 120 pitches the most he's ever used in a season. That was last year. And now you have, you know, Buck's been riding pretty hard, you know, 105, 110. You know, even last night I was really surprised to see him come back out into the seventh inning when Castillo really did a good job of nursing him through 6 innings without his good stuff.
Yeah, I was surprised too because, you know, I know Buck doesn't have Zach Britton, but the bullpen has, you know, he's still got a pretty strong arsenal there. I mean, no harm, no foul. But as you said, Tony, astutely, as always, you're riding him just a little bit too hard. But then again, on the flip side, you got to take the kid gloves off at some point, right?
That's true. But, you know, again, this is a long season. We all know baseball is a marathon, and it's great that he's pitching awesome right now and seeing that. But I think you're starting to ask a lot of the guys start getting that 110 range every game is this early in the season. I mean, this is two or three. I think it's at least 3 starts in a row he's been over that 100 pitch mark. And I know it's because the team's been good. But last night to me was a perfect example. You had a fresh bullpen for the most part. Hart was really the only one he's used a lot of late. Off day today. So to me, you could have easily went O'Day, Givens, and Brock and kind of had those guys get those innings. That's what they get paid for to do. So, but, you know, hey, it worked out. Everybody's happy. The Orioles won an extra innings. You know, you give Buck credit when they win. So you got to give them credit even when you don't agree with the moves. But I do have a little bit of concern just on how deep he's allowing Bundy to go into these games, especially, again, like you said, that bullpen's been great. You don't want to wear them out either. But at the same time, you know, you gotta use them. You know, you gotta be able to keep Bundy healthy for the whole year.
What kind of concern do you have about Trumbo? You know, 0 for his last 20.
Well, he doesn't look good. There's no doubt right now, and he goes through these streaks. It's just that he started the year in the streak, and I think that's why, of course, it gets highlighted much more when it happens. The good news is the Orioles are 14-6 with him hitting like this. So right. If you're going to slump and the team's not getting killed by you, that's a good time to do it, because he's got a tracker. He's going to hit. This is, you know, he's not going to be a guy that's going to OPS 4.495 the whole season. You know, he's going to get on a roll. He's going to start to hit, and hopefully that's when some other guys cool down. Maybe he'll pick it up. So I'm not overly worried. At the same time, he's obviously a hole in the lineup right now, and you can see, especially, you know, Davis is in a little bit of a slump, even though he had a couple of walks last night, which was good to see. But he hasn't hit very well over the last 8 games either. So when you have two guys that aren't hitting, you notice Manny Machado's been getting walked an awful lot. And that's what's going to happen. They're going to pitch around Machado and go after those two guys. And it's worked for the last week or so. That's why the Orioles haven't scored a whole lot of runs. But thankfully, the pitching has been able to come through.
Tony Pente, OriolesHangout.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, on this Throwback Thursday. Tony's on the Ackerman Security Hotline. You referenced Jonathan Scope earlier, Tony. Two more hits last night at Ribby, .294 batting average on the year. Are you noticing anything different about his approach at the plate here early in 2017?
Well, you know, the home run he hit the other day was opposite field, and I think that may have been his first opposite field home run in the last 2 years. I think I saw the spray chart on it, and it's really odd. I mean, he's really kind of a pull hitter, and that's why you're starting to see the shift get on him. I think you're starting to see him use the you know, more of the field now, and that's a good thing. He's also making better adjustments. You know, he still is going to take some ugly swings sometimes, and I think Jonathan is a little bit of a guess hitter early in the count. I think he's sitting on certain pitches. But what you're seeing is when he gets those two pitches, he's cutting down on some swings. He's having some better at-bats once he gets to that two-strike. You know, basically his two-strike approach has gotten much better this season. And I think that's helped him as well. You know, he's always had the plate coverage. He's always had the ability to hit the ball hard. Obviously, the power's always been there. You know, so this is a good step for him. You know, obviously, you need to see him. He's had stretches like this in the past, and then he's cooled off. You know, hopefully this season he can maintain this throughout the year. Because really, right now, he's been a huge part of the Orioles' 14-6 start.
Now, Mancini, I guess Buck is going with, like, Kim plays, and he gets a couple hits, so he stays in. Like Mancini, when he was hitting home runs, he stayed in. So is that kind of the way that you see it?
Well, no, I think it's more of it's still a platoon thing going on right there, because, you know, if you look at Mancini, he was getting a lot of the bats because we were facing a lot of lefties and the knuckleballer, which Kim doesn't hit well, and really doesn't matter whether you're right-handed or left-handed against knuckleball. It depends on whether you can hit it. And obviously, Mancini's been able to hit the knuckleball. So he's gotten a lot more bats, and that's why you haven't seen a lot of Kim. You know, the last week or so, the last couple games, you've been seeing a lot of those guys because there's been a lot of right-handers out there. This weekend, there's going to be a lot of left-handers with the Yankees. You're going to see a lot more Mancini out there, and Kim's going to go back on the bench. So I think it's still a platoon situation. The one thing about Mancini, though, is, you know, obviously he's off. That's a great start, hit the 5 home runs. But if you've noticed, the pitchers have made some adjustments to him. In the last 5 or 6 games, he's seeing a whole lot more breaking stuff and all speed stuff. You know, that was kind of his kryptonite down in the minors. That's why he didn't put up the huge numbers in AAA, because they were able to get the curveballs, the changeups, get them out in front, and you started seeing that. So pitchers have made an adjustment. Now we'll see, will Mancini make the adjustment back? And this weekend will be a really good time to see how he handles that, because he's going to see some left-handers, he's going to see some left-handers with some good changeups, and that's going to be a really interesting thing to watch, especially with the Orioles needing some roster spots here coming up soon.
Yeah, Sunday's game against Boston, they were giving him a heavy dose of breaking stuff away, and he was flailing away like a champ.
Yeah, the slider away has also been something he has had struggles with at times. Now, he'll go through stretches where he lays off that pitch pretty well, but And that's the one thing I've liked about Mancini is he can make adjustments. He'll make adjustments even within bats. He'll look really bad on the slider and then look at two of them outside and not do that. But, you know, you start hitting some home runs. They try to see if they get the fastball by him. They realize really quickly they're not going to do that. So they made their adjustments now, and that's what he's going to see. So he's going to have to make those adjustments back, and we'll see how that all works out. That's the fun of baseball.
Tony, last thing, let's go down on the farm, and in particular, the starting rotation at Norfolk. I know Chris Lee got the win last night, but he struggled. Mike Wright has struggled. Tyler Wilson got lit up. Gabe Yanoa's been having some problems. What in the hell is going on down in Norfolk? Any reason to be concerned, or just, okay, it's early and they'll get themselves out of this?
It's strange. It really is strange because usually, you know, you have a lot of things going good for the pitchers. You know, sometimes the cold weather keeps the hitting down. You know, Norfolk, you know, Harbor Park is known as a pitcher's park. You really don't expect that. And to have all of them really start off with bad starts is really kind of surprising. Honestly, I have no idea why all of them would start off that way, especially some of those guys like Yanoa and Lee look very good in spring training. So it is strange. It's a very interesting. It's good to see, like you said, Lee have a good start last night, and Yanoa was better the last time he was out. So you have to assume, again, some of these guys have track records. You're going to assume that they're going to come back and start pitching well. But, you know, the Orioles are going to need some of these guys this year. Asher's already been up here. He pitched last night, even though he didn't pitch all that well. He was able to get the Vulture win, which was good. But, you know, they're going to need these guys. And it's going to come down to it is, you know, at some point they're going to need them. And whoever's going to be the hot hand is going to be the one to come up. So whether they're pitching great right now there's no need. You know, the most important part is somebody needs to get hot when the Orioles do need somebody to come up here.
Is Mike Wright salvageable? He looks like he can't get anybody out. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think I've always thought he's going to be better off in a relief role. You know, he just doesn't have that stuff. And it's really the consistency. He'll flash you some really good stuff. He'll flash you three pitches. He'll flash you a great change. He'll flash you a really good slider. And of course, you know, the fastball at times, when he's commanding it, can be really good. The problem with him is just consistency. None of those pitches are consistent. None of them he can say, hey, this is the one I'm going to go to. And that's why he doesn't miss a lot of bats, because he just doesn't have a go-to pitch that will miss a bat. And you never know from one pitch to another, from one inning to another, what you're going to get. And that's kind of been his M.O. It's his M.O. in the minors, and it's been his M.O. when he was in the major leagues. And I think at some point you just have to say, let me see what he looks like in a one-inning role. Let me see if he can develop some consistency by saying, let's give him two pitches, make him a fastball changeup guy, and say, go out there and get guys out for an inning or two and see what you got. Because clearly in these multiple inning roles, it's just not working for him.
Tony Pente, OrielsHangout.com. Tell everyone what's happening at the website, Tony.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of great things on the chats. I've been doing some new Facebook Live events, you know, trying to do my thing like you, you know, get out there and do some pregame stuff, talking about the minors and things like that. So check us out on the website, on the message board, and on Facebook.
Facebook. I checked out of that during the election, and It's kind of hard for me to even reintroduce myself to that. But we're not here to talk social media. We're talking Orioles with Tony Pente. We do it every week. Tony, we appreciate it. Thanks, a great Thursday.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Tony Pente on the Ackerman Security Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.